Last week, the European Central Bank increased its interest rates by 50 basis points, and yesterday, the US Fed increased its interest rates by 25 basis points. Why this is important in this context right now is because this comes on the back of banking crises, both in the US and in Europe, with a lot of people expecting that maybe the central banks would not increase interest rates, because some say that it's the high interest rates that have caused the crises. But they have gone ahead and increased rates. So to look at what this means for India, because the repo rate in India a lot of times follows what happens in the West, we're going to do this episode of Macro Sutra and look into what the implications are for India, whether India will go ahead and increase interest rates, what is the right policy for us, what are the implications for us. I'm TCA Sharad Raghavan, Deputy Editor at The Print, and we have with us Radhika Pandey, a Senior Fellow at NIPFP. Thank you, Radhika, for joining us.
Thank you, Sharad.
So now let's start with, what is the signal that the US and Europe are giving by going ahead and increasing interest rates despite these banking crises? Is it that inflation still is a major concern?
Yes. So if we just recap a bit and look at the situation before the banking crisis, before the Silicon Valley Bank collapse, we remember that the US Fed governor gave a testimony in the Senate that inflation is still a cause of concern and we are going to raise rates for longer. Interest rates are going to remain elevated for longer because it is still a cause of concern. And our prime responsibility is to bring inflation back to the 2% target.
Right.
So that was the situation. And at that time, it was after the statement, there was this consensus that maybe the Fed will go ahead and increase rates by 50 basis points.
Right.
Then comes the banking crisis, the Silicon Valley Bank collapse. And as we discussed last time, that a major part of that is attributed due to the bank's investment in government bonds, the US
right.
Treasury securities. And because of the persistent interest rate hikes, the banks suffered mark-to-market losses.
Mm-hmm.
Treasury, there was losses on bond valuation. So after that, the discourse changed to the fact that maybe now, because rate hikes are one of the reasons for valuation losses being suffered by Silicon Valley Bank, and then the crisis also impacted some other smaller banks. So there was this speculation. Many analysts raised this statement that Federal Reserve may not go in for a rate hike
right.
and may in fact cut interest rates. So there were some statements by Nomura and other analysts who suggested that maybe the Federal Reserve needs to cut interest rates. But as we saw both in the case of the European Central Bank and the US Fed, that both of them went ahead and rightly so, focusing on inflation, they went ahead and raised the policy rate.
Mm-hmm.
As regards the ECB, the ECB governor said that they will focus on inflation and at the same time focus on financial stability concerns through the instruments that are needed
right.
for financial stability, to address financial stability concern. So they will go ahead and do liquidity funding. They will enhance their supervision on banks. So those are the steps they will follow. Similarly, what Fed governor said yesterday, that they will focus on inflation going
right.
forward. That is why they have raised the interest rate by 25 basis points. But they will also do anything which is required for addressing the banking crisis. So the key lesson emerging from these two episodes is that the financial stability, the banking crisis battle, and inflation battle has to be fought separately.
Right.
And therefore, there are different set of instruments for addressing the financial turmoil, containing the financial crisis, and for addressing inflation. And therefore, they have rightly given the signal that they will focus on inflation. Interest rate is a tool which can be only used to address for inflation management.
Right.
It cannot be used for financial stability concern. Hmm. You need to have, like we talked about earlier, about having adequate buffers, having stronger regulation. So that is needed. So I think that is a signal that has emerged from both these episodes.
Right. So basically, any central bank in the world has two broad responsibilities, right? One is on controlling inflation, and the other is on making sure that the banking system is robust and it's strong, with basically financial sector regulation. Now, the two, even though they are being done by the same body,
yes,
they can't, the two roles can't go, you know, overlap. Decisions taken to control inflation cannot be done keeping banking regulation in mind. And decisions on banking regulation can't be done keeping inflation in mind. I think that's the point that Radhika was making. But on the other side, there is this concern that these high interest rates led to this kind of banking instability in both the US and in Europe. Now, how does the central bank then address these concerns? Not with the interest rates, but it has other tools,
yes,
as you said.
Yes, it has. So we have seen that the central bank, the Federal Reserve, particularly because this was mainly the concern for the U.S. bank,
for the
Silicon Valley Bank, that we saw that after that an emergency funding window was opened, bank term funding lending facility, and since then we have seen that many banks have used that facility to take funds so that they do not have to do distress sale of government bond,
right,
and further incur mark-to-market losses. So, and that is an interesting implication of this is that we have seen that the bond holdings of Fed have, just jumped over the last 1 week.
I see.
Because till now we were seeing what is termed as quantitative tightening, where the US Federal Reserve was shrinking its balance sheet. But a lot of that has been reversed, because now what the central bank is doing, the Federal Reserve is lending to these banks on the pledge, on the security, or on the collateral of government bonds. So the holding of government bonds with the Fed has increased, has skyrocketed, and therefore the asset base of the Fed has increased. So that is one indicator to see that, yes, Federal Reserve has swung into action and tried to address that concern. Also, we saw that six central banks came together to address the dollar funding crunch,
right,
where they have said that where the Fed will provide dollar funding at a more higher frequency to these central banks to address funding strains, not only in the US bank, but also in the global banking system. So we are seeing that funding liquidity, the liquidity injection is happening. And at the same time, now they're talking about enhancing supervision of smaller size banks and mid-sized banks. I think that has that is a good step that they are going to take to address these to contain financial crisis.
Right. So overall, you do feel that as far as the interest rate goes,
yes,
that the decisions taken by these two central banks so far is sensible and prudent?
Yeah, they are sensible and prudent because they maintain the credibility of the inflation targeting regime.
Right.
Because if they would have, because if you see, you know, look at the state of the economy, look at the US economy, the inflation, there are two metrics to assess inflation. One is the US consumer price index. The other is the US personal consumption expenditure, which is US PCE, which is the metric which the Federal Reserve normally takes into account to talk about their interest rate decision. Both are elevated. So
far higher than the 2%.
Far higher than the 2%. Yes. So they are inching towards the 6% mark even now. So, and also within that, it's very interesting to also look at the composition of this US CPI inflation. Services inflation are red hot. The energy prices are falling, but services, housing inflation is very high. So that means that the demand is still robust. And therefore, the monetary policy needs to do more work to suppress demand so that inflation gets into the target. So one needs to look at the broad set of indicators the health of the economy. And there we see even the unemployment rate, if you look at the latest data, it has risen, but it's still way below the average unemployment rate.
Right.
So wages are higher. Non-farm payroll employment, which is one of the indicator of employment, you know, how mm-hmm. much employment job creation happened over the course of the month. Again, way higher than what the consensus estimates was.
Right.
So in terms of prices and in terms of the labor market, the situation, the economy is very robust. And that led the Federal Reserve Bank to raise interest rate by 25 basis points.
Right. And so now we have one question from the audience, which is that with the increase in interest rates, can we expect the funding winter that's been happening with startups, which is where a lot of their funding has dried up? Do we expect that to continue, as it will be difficult for startups to take loans now? And will this lead to more layoffs in the job market?
So we need to think this through two terms, like short term, medium term situation. So in terms of the SVB collapse and its impact on startups, yes, there are implications that we are seeing, because a lot many Indian startups also had exposure with Silicon Valley Bank. They had their deposits parked with Silicon Valley Bank, because mostly the Indian startups doing business with the US had their banking business with SVB. So
yes,
to that extent, in the short term, they are facing funding issues. They are not able to even do their basic payment business. They are not able to issue paychecks to their employees. And therefore, many other fintechs, firms have come in to rescue these startups. So that is the short term effect. And if we look at the medium-term, long-term effect, that is not just depending on the interest rate, but it's dependent on the overall state of the financial market.
The market
entirely, the sentiments, because startups are not just borrowing from banks, they are raising funds from the equity market. And
right,
what we saw during 2020 and 21, where a lot many retail investors pumped in their money and there was this surplus liquidity. Now we are seeing the reversal of that situation.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, there would be implications, primarily starting from interest rate, but there are other factors also. What is the situation in the markets? And markets right now are very volatile. They were volatile and now the volatility level has increased.
Right.
So it's not just for startups, but for any other company also to raise finance will become difficult, because every day we are seeing markets sometimes rising, falling during the same day also. Look at banking stocks. Sometimes they are rising, they are falling. Exchange rate is appreciating, depreciating. So
mm-hmm.
we are going to have this spell of volatility in financial markets, exchange rate market, bond market, equity market, which will definitely have an impact on the funding prospects.
Right. And so now coming to India, in my introduction, I mentioned that the repo rate as set by the RBI does tend to follow some of the decisions made by the US Fed and to an extent the European Central Bank. But how dependent is the rate set by the RBI on what's happening in these two major economies?
Primarily, it is domestic conditions. And
mm-hmm.
therefore, we have seen that while the pace of rate hikes by Federal Reserve is much more steeper as compared to the RBI.
Right.
We have seen that now cumulatively, the Fed has increased rates by 475 basis
475,
points
right.
since March 2022. From zero interest rate, now they are ranging, the Fed funds rate is somewhere between 4.75 to 5%. So almost
right.
there is a increase of 475 to 500 basis points since March 2022. Whereas in India, it's 250 basis points as
since
of now.
May.
Since May 2022
right.
as of now. So firstly, the interest rate trajectory does not directly mirror what is happening in the US and the Europe countries. But yes, the direction is going to be impacted because one is your prices, which are influenced by domestic condition. So if you look at the monetary policy statement, they talk about the impact of possible impact of El Nino, what is the state of the various high frequency indicators, talking about the demand prospects, agriculture, industry, services, and so on. So primarily, they are all the rate decisions are dependent on domestic condition.
Right.
But there is one more, there is a lingering concern, which is about exchange rate. Because if the interest rates in the US are way too higher than in India, and the rate differential is steeper, then it will lead to outflow of capital. And that has implications for rupee. And if rupee depreciates, it will lead to higher imported inflation. So through that channel, they always have that feature or factor in mind. But primarily, if you look at the discussion, it is based on domestic factor. But yes, direction is definitely influenced by the state of monetary policy decisions in other countries. And also now you see, European Central Bank has raised by 50 basis points.
Right.
Fed has raised by 25 basis points. Now, this would mean that the dollar would depreciate against the pound.
Yes.
Yes, because they have risen at a faster pace, because today is Bank of England's decision. So, and there the inflation is 10%. So again, they're going to raise rates by a big margin.
Right.
So it will have an impact, because dollar is influenced by what is happening in what the rate action by ECB, by Bank of England, and so on. So that will have implications for dollar, which will have implications for rupee.
For the rupee,
and therefore, those through exchange rate channels, definitely those things are discussed, and it does have implication for the interest rate decision by the RBI.
Right. And now I know that my next question is possibly a topic for an entire episode in itself, but I'm still going to ask it. So can we expect a rate hike by the RBI in its April meeting?
Definitely it is on the anvil, because if we look at the inflation, again, the trajectory of inflation, it is still higher. It was a there was a marginal slide from 6.5 to 6.44 in the month of February.
Right.
So there is still inflation is elevated, and there are concerns about the food inflation. Now we saw untimely rains spoiling wheat crop.
Right.
That will have an impact on food inflation. That will have an impact on the FCI holding of food stocks, because as of now, they have been offloading food stocks in the market to cool wheat prices. And they were expecting that this harvest will be able to replenish their stocks.
Right.
But that may not happen if there is some impact on the crop production, which will have an impact on food inflation. So food inflation is definitely going to be a cause of concern. And so long as core inflation remains at 6% or somewhere around 5.9, I think the focus would remain on bringing down inflation below 6%.
Right.
Though if we look at the recent the bulletin, the RBI bulletin, and the report released by the Department of Economic Affairs, they have given this indication that going forward, inflation will moderate. But as of now, given the condition, there is expectation that RBI will go in for another rate hike.
And also, inflation generally, it's looking to be very dynamic right now, because in the last monetary policy statement by the governor, he had predicted that inflation would be on a rising trajectory through the year.
Yes.
But now we have new data which is showing that maybe it will moderate through the year.
Yes.
So what do you know, maybe by April something will have changed once again.
Absolutely. So that is what US Fed governor also said, that now going forward they will be data dependent, because what they were trying to do for so long has been done by the SVB collapse. Because SVB collapse has tightened the credit condition, banks have pulled back on their lending.
Right.
As a result, the offtake of credit will slow down, and that will have an impact on demand. So what the Fed could not do, was trying to do through raising interest rate, is hopefully, that's the silver lining, that it's being done by the SVB collapse. So they, that is what he said, that maybe that will also have a bearing on their interest rate decision going Absolutely. Forward. Because if the credit tightens and if there is less offtake of credit, demand cools down, then going forward, the pace of interest rate hikes would slow down. Basically, the situation has become so volatile that nobody is going to give any forward guidance.
It's all very wait and watch.
It's very wait and watch, and it's... all dependent on data, what data tells us, and based on that, they are going to make decisions.
But now, looking only at India as opposed to what was happening in the US, here the rate hikes have been having a very different impact as to what they have, what happened in the US. There were a lot of mark-to-market losses amongst these regional banks. Over here, what's happening is that finally the rate hikes are having an impact on credit offtake.
Right. Yes.
And so that's starting to slow down, especially to industry. Now, is that worrying?
So, again, the composition is such, as you rightly pointed out, credit to large industry has started to slow down.
Right.
But personal loans, services, that has, they are still very strong and around 19 to 20%. So, right. while industry is not borrowing, is maybe, again, because they are not wanting to do more fresh investments. They already have a good capacities to cater to the demand. Again, volatile condition, they don't want to incur, take the risk of making fresh capacity addition. So it's, we need to look at bank credit as a whole, and there also it has slowed down. It's not, right. you know, from 17-18%, it's come down to 15%. And right. yes, definitely it's going to slow down, and we are seeing an impact. But we also need to see that impact on the other sectors, which is the personal loan and services. Right now, we are seeing only on large industries. Large industry, all the uptick was all, only for a few months, and again, we are seeing a moderation. Yeah. So that is, again, an indication of the fact that you know, the sentiments, the environment is not yet ripe for undertaking fresh private investments.
Right. And now we have asked this question before, but it's worth asking again. In the current context, is inflation still a big enough concern in India that the RBI can continue raising rates, even though there are now mounting signs showing that our economy is going to slow in the near future and for the rest of the financial year?
We need to see whether economy is slowing at what pace, because these are two mandates that RBI has to manage. One is the inflation and the other is growth. But the prime responsibility is to bring inflation within the target of 4 to 6%. But if we look at the various high frequency indicators, we are getting a mixed signal. We cannot say with certainty that the economy is slowing down. There would be channels through exports. Mm-hmm. And there also we've talked about, while exports of goods have slowed down, exports of services have been rising at a brisk pace. So we need to have more concrete evidence that the economy is slowing down to make this, for the RBI also to consider halting interest rates.
Right.
Because right now, again, as I said, the prime responsibility has to be on managing inflation until we see very credible signs of growth slowing down on a sustained basis.
Mm-hmm.
Growth is slowing down, again, due to global headwinds, where, again, the RBI's interest rate policy cannot do much about.
Absolutely.
So, therefore, it has to focus on its prime mandate of inflation targeting. And that is the way it is. It will be able to contribute to stable and durable growth.
Right. And actually, that raises an interesting question, which is inflation in India structurally different from what's happening in the US? Isn't a lot of their inflation as well imported right now?
It is. See, to understand whether it's structurally different, we just look at the composition, you know, and one of the simplest way to study is to disentangle inflation into goods and services,
right?
And there, what we see is that in US, it is now the services inflation which is rising. Whereas in our case, the services inflation is not rising. Services inflation has actually come down. It is the goods inflation which is rising.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the possible explanation for this is that, you know, gradually the informal sector is recovering, and therefore they are picking up their demand, and which is what we are seeing in the goods. The downwards. Inflation, the trajectory of Indian inflation, CPI inflation, is primarily driven by goods inflation rather than services. So it also has to do with the composition, because out of 299 commodities, it's only 40 items are services, rest everything is goods.
Right.
But even then, we see that in our inflation scenario, the services inflation has been moderating and the goods inflation has been inching up, and partly also due to the food inflation, which is 50% of the weight. And there is now this, debates around, you know, talking about the composition, that maybe, you know, because we are still using 2011 basket.
Right.
Whether we are still spending 46% of our income on food items, we need to understand reassess all of that. There's a very nice paper in the RBI bulletin which has talked about this.
Yes.
So I think it is also time to look at that question to have a better assessment of CPI inflation.
Right. And so that's the other thing. Please regularly go to the RBI website. They're very good about updating all of their discussion papers and a lot of the speeches that the governor and the deputy governors have given in recent times. Please go through them. There's a lot of analysis that they do in quite simple terms to look at, you know, how we should be thinking about things like inflation and growth. Now, Radhika, we have one more question from the audience, and it's our final question. We've addressed this to some degree, but I'll still ask it. It is, will inflation be the new normal for the world now? I ask because the Fed is on an interest hike spree to combat inflation, while the government seems to be content with adding more fuel to the inflation fire through minimum wage hikes. Now, we've talked about how a new normal might be premature because things are so volatile right now. It's tough to predict what the normal is going to be, but please.
Yes. So one is, we've talked about the composition, that, you know, it's mainly the services which is now driving inflation.
Over there in the U.S.
In the U.S., yes. Yeah. In the U.S., 60% of the rise in inflation that we saw in the month of February, which is the latest data which we have, was driven by services, and within services also by housing and other components. So
I see.
That is one thing to remember when we talk about inflation dynamics in the U.S. The other thing is that here we are talking about minimum wage. And a fallout of a sustained inflation is wage price spiral, because inflation has remained elevated for so long that the purchasing power has been impacted. Mm-hmm. And therefore, the government is trying to enhance the minimum wages. In various states, they have announced an increase in minimum wages.
Right.
So it is only that the threshold of minimum wages is being raised. Mm-hmm. That may not lead to a very high inflation, because their demand is not too high, because it's, if you look at inflation, it's mainly driven by the services.
Right.
Now, here we are talking about just raising the minimum wages so that they are able to maintain their consumption pattern. We are not, the government is not infusing additional funds so that they are able to increase their consumption. It's just to help them maintain their consumption, because
right.
inflation has been rising on a sustained basis. So it's very important to understand that this is minimum wages. It's not an across the board increase in wages. Mm-hmm. And second, that the composition of inflation is geared towards services. And there also the Fed very rightly says that, you know, it's a lagging indicator, and they expect that even services inflation will start moderating in the coming months, because now they have seen energy prices are falling, goods inflation is falling. So the other component will also start falling in some time. So and if we look at, best thing is, have a look at the summary of economic projections that are released by the Federal Reserve, along with the statement of Federal Reserve Governor. There is a summary of economic projection.
Mm-hmm.
And there they say that inflation for this year, and that's the projection by each member independently,
right.
their median inflation is 3.6%. So, and in 2024, it is lower. So they are expecting inflation to moderate, but still it's a long way to go from the 2%, and therefore they are raising interest rates. So they are working towards tackling inflation to bring down to 2%. So as of now, we don't see inflation, high inflation becoming a new normal.
Okay. And so there you go. The US Fed and the ECB, and we will see whether the Bank of England agrees with them or not. But so far, the US Fed and the ECB believe that inflation targeting is still very important. And so decisions on interest rate should be along those lines. Things like banking stability, financial sector stability can be addressed through other routes. And they're already doing those other things. When it comes to India, the Monetary Policy Committee will be meeting in early April, and they will likely raise interest rates as well. The quantum is as yet unknown, but inflation seems to be a concern across the board in India, in Europe, in the US. And although it is likely to decline in the medium term, right now, all eyes are still set on inflation, and so all decisions will be along those lines. Thank you so much for watching.